Circle, Jess here. It's great to be back with you again for the April 2015 workshop for the Thriver Circle. This month, I'm talking to you about pricing, one of those things that we all struggle with, that we all have to revisit time and time again. But there are some fundamentals that you need to get a handle on in order to make sure you're pricing in a way that makes your business profitable and sustainable in the long run. So I'm going to be talking about pricing with the head and pricing with the heart, what those two things mean and how to bring them together in order to come up with the right price for your work. So let's get started.
Hey guys, welcome to the workshop. So I've titled this Pricing with the Head and Heart. It's kind of the way I talk about pricing because there's really two elements to it. There's the head, which is, you know, doing the maths, doing the boring stuff, basically. And then there's the heart, which is really emotions and a bit more subjective. So we're going to talk about both of those today and how to use those two things in combo to come up with the right price for what you make. So before we do that, I just want to talk a little bit about, you know, how we should approach pricing in general. And one piece of advice I have is, you know, to think about where you want to position your brand and your prices, you know, who your ideal customer is going to be, and we're going to talk a bit about that a bit later. So ask yourself questions like this: should you set your prices low to try and score impulse buys, or should you set your prices high to cater to a wealthier market, or should you price to be competitive in your market? These are probably all questions you've considered before, but it's important to think about them and say, okay, well, don't just be unconscious about how you decide to price your work. You need to think about it in the larger context, and you need to think about it in terms of your brand positioning and where you want to be in the marketplace, and also where you want to be in the future. So, you know, if you're getting caught in that trap of pricing things too low because, you know, you really want to score sales, you know, short term, great, that might be okay. But in the long term, you're probably shooting yourself in the foot, because once you get busy, you're not going to be making enough money to actually sustain the work you're doing. And a lot of handmakers have fallen into this trap. You know, I've done it myself. You know, you set a certain price and you think it's fine, and then sales pick up and pick up, and you get to a point where you're working too much, basically, for not enough money. And that's the point where something has to give. You know, you either have to put your prices up, or you have to quit, or you have to change something else. And, you know, it's not a fun place to be. So to try to prepare for that beforehand and make sure that doesn't happen is a really good thing. So that comes back to the last question there about pricing to be competitive in your market. If you've been around for a while, you know that I'm not one to think about the competition. I prefer to focus on my business and what I'm doing and go after my customers myself and not really worry about what other people are doing. And the reason I do that is because I have no control over what other people are doing. And I have so many competitors out there in the world that if I tried to even keep up with a fraction of them, it would take way too much of my time. So basically, I mostly pretty much ignore what everybody else in my niche is doing, and I do my own thing, and that seems to be working for me. You know, it's really important to think about your sphere of influence, that sphere of control, sphere of influence thing. You know, if it's outside of your sphere of control, there's no point worrying about it. There's no point stressing over it, because there's nothing you can do about it. The only thing you have control over is your business, your prices, the quality of your work and customer service and all those sorts of things. So you're better off putting your focus on those things rather than worrying about what your competitors are doing. To a certain extent, I will come back to this later with one particular point, but we'll worry about that down the line. So one thing I do want to talk about before we talk about how to price things is the concept of price points. So no matter where you want to position your brand in the marketplace, whether you're, you know, an affordable brand or a mid-range brand or a luxury brand, it helps to have a range of price points for your products. And pretty much every, you know, unless it's a company just making one thing, that every brand will have a range of price points, okay? And the reason for that is because a couple of reasons. One is a psychological reason. If you have something that's priced quite low, something else that's priced really high, and then stuff in the middle, people will probably usually graduate towards the stuff in the middle. Or, to put it another way, imagine you only had the low price and the middle price stuff in your shop. people would look at that and go, oh, well, that middle price stuff is the expensive stuff, so I'll go and buy a lower priced item. Whereas when you add that next tier, suddenly the stuff that was the expensive stuff is actually the middle of the range and doesn't look so expensive anymore. So that's kind of a little strategy to take advantage of how people think about things, a bit of psychology there. By having that range of price points, you know, your mid-range stuff doesn't seem so expensive anymore. And when I talk about the entry level, you know, don't have it too low. You get a feel for this, you know. Go around to, you know, shops and think about this next time you're buying anything or shopping anywhere, especially on, you know, on Etsy or online, in handmade shops, and look at the kind of the price points. Oftentimes, if you go to a shop and it has a range of price points, but the bottom price is really low, you kind of turn away from them because you think, whoa, why is that so cheap? That can't be good quality. So, you know, people will actually be turned off by prices that are too low. You know, you want it to be still a profitable price for that product. It just may be that that's an easier, simpler product for you to make, or a quicker product for you to make, so you can price it lower. But the stuff that's in the mid-range, that should be your bread and butter work. That should be the stuff that's making you the bulk of your income. The stuff that's the really high-priced, high-value stuff should be your one-of-a-kind, custom, really intricate pieces. You know, I'm all about having reproducible stuff, especially if you sell online. That's really important. But that's no reason you can't still do one-of-a-kind. You just should be making those one-of-a-kind pieces much more expensive because they're much more valuable. You know, you've taken the time and the effort to create this one-of-a-kind piece. You've gone through all the effort of, you know, photographing it, uploading it, marketing it, and so on and so forth. So its value is much higher, even if the materials cost is kind of similar to something else that's in your mid-range that's reproducible. The value of that is much higher because of the extra work, if you know what I mean. Like, you're only earning that money once from that piece. Whereas when you have a reproducible item, all that extra work, the marketing, the photographing, editing, blah, 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 you spread that cost out over multiple sales, okay? Because you're selling that same thing over and over again. So remember that when you come to putting reproducible versus one-of-a-kind or high-level stuff in your shop. Don't be afraid to price it high because it's worth it. Okay, so think about that in the terms of your range and what you make. You know, do you already have a range of price points? Is there a way you can alter the stuff you already have to spread this out a little bit more? You know, people will come in, people who've never bought from you before might want to come in on that entry level, you know, before, so they can sort of test you out in a way, you know, see what your product is like, what the quality is, what your customer service is like, and then chances are when they come back again, they'll move up into that mid-range. So that's something important to think about. But how do you set these prices? How do you make the decision on what dollar value to put on your work? Okay, so I'm going to talk to you about a two-pronged approach, which I call pricing with the head and the heart. So let's start with explaining what that means. Head, okay, you're using your pricing formula, you're using hard numbers, you're doing the math, you're doing the research, you know, you're working out how much everything costs you to ensure that you're covering all those costs in your prices. Okay, really important. So many people skip this step because they don't like maths, or they, you know, they honestly, one reason a lot of people skip it is because they're afraid to know the truth. On it, you know, it really is that simple, is that people go, you know, deep down, I know I'm not actually pricing to cover costs here. I know I'm not charging enough for my work. But if I don't ever do the maths, I can pretend that I'm actually doing okay. Don't pretend, guys. It's not worth it in the long run. This is one of the exercises that always resonates really strongly with those of people who do my setup shop course. Is one particular lesson where we actually look at this issue, and the question I ask, and I'm gonna share it with you today, is this: I ask them to set a goal. So a goal for gross turnover. So that's how much money you actually bring in over 1 year. Set a goal number. Say, you know, $30,000 is your goal number for how much money you actually want to make. Remember, this is not the money you keep, but because you still have to pay all those bills and pay for all your materials and pay your taxes and all that sort of stuff. This is just the money you bring in. And then ask yourself, how many pieces that I make, you know, how many pieces will I have to sell to reach that number? You know, pick your best-selling product or your mid-range product or whatever your most common product is. Actually do that calculation, and it can be a real shock to find out how many, at the current price that you sell things for, how many you'd have to make to reach that number. So I encourage you strongly to do that calculation right now. Pause this if you want to, you know, and just come back to it with that knowledge in your mind, and then we can move on. Okay, so pricing with the head is using the formula to work out what you really need to be pricing. Then we move on to the second half, which is pricing with the heart. And with by heart, I mean emotional, subjective, okay? But you can't really do that till you have that financial, mathematical base price, because you can't go below that. And we'll talk a bit more about that later. But heart is the emotional, market positioning, branding, that sort of stuff. So those are the two things you combine to work out your final price. So let's start with talking about pricing with the head. Okay, so these are just a few definitions I want to get out of the way so we're all on the same page with this. Cost price is the first thing. So what is your cost price? Your cost price is what it actually costs you to make the item, okay? Your materials cost, your time, your overheads and things like that, the actual cost to you. Your wholesale price is what you charge wholesale customers. So if people buy from you via wholesale, this is the price you're charging them. And your wholesale price needs to not only include your cost price, it also needs to include a profit for you. Okay, so wholesale price is your cost price plus profit. Then we have retail price. Your retail price is the price you sell direct to the public at, or what your wholesalers will sell it direct to the public for. It's really important that your wholesale price is not what you're selling directly to the public for, okay? For a couple of reasons. One, the main one, of course, is that if you ever want to be selling wholesale, if you ever want to get into shops or anything like that, they are going to want to sell at retail price. So you shouldn't undercut them online or anywhere else, because that's not good business practice. You should be, whenever you sell direct to the customer, the public, you should be selling for this very similar price to what your retailers are selling to the public for. Now, the retail price obviously is a lot higher than the wholesale price. And the reason for that is that middleman, middlewoman, the retailer needs to cover their costs. You know, if they're buying your stuff off you for a wholesale price, they need to cover all their costs in the markup. Okay, they need to be covering their rent, their staff, their insurance, their profit and their wage. Okay, so that's why there is that huge difference between what a wholesale price is and what a retail price is. So cost price, what it actually costs you to make the item, wholesale price, cost price plus a profit for you, and retail price, the price you sell direct to the public or that your wholesalers will sell direct to the public for. Awesome. Okay. Brace yourself. You ready? We're going to talk about some maths. All right. So you have to use a formula. There's no way around it. You can't just guess this stuff. You need to use a formula or a calculator to work out for every product how much it's costing you to make it. All right. And if you don't do that, you're going to only be pricing by heart, which is not a safe and sustainable method for pricing your stuff. A caveat to that, once you've been doing this for a while, okay, and you've made heaps of products, you're not going to have to go through this formula again, because you'll be able to figure it out. Okay, so if you've priced, you know, say my Urban Eco earrings, you know, I don't have to price every single new pair I make, because I use the same amount of materials for each new design, and it takes me approximately the same amount of time to make it. So I can just say, okay, well, that's going to be the same price as all the other ones. Okay, so it's only at the beginning and when you come up with something really new that you need to go through this process, but it's important that you do. Okay, so I'm going to give you a couple of formulas to play with. There are tons out there. These are by no means the only formulas out there. I encourage you to do research. I encourage you to try these out. I encourage you to find other ones to try out. The key is to make sure you're covering that cost price. Okay, that's what it all comes down to, really. So let's look at the first one. This is a simpler one. Example one, our cost price. So we work this out by taking our labor plus our price of materials and timesing it by 2 to equal wholesale. So the actual cost price is just labor plus the price of materials. Okay, that is our cost price. Then we multiply that by 2 to get our wholesale price, because that gives us some profit. Okay, now you cannot sell below cost price without losing money. Obviously, you need to cover your materials and your time. Like, that is, it's not something you can just go, oh, well, it just takes me 12 hours to make this, but that doesn't matter. It does matter. Again, think long term. Think about how much time it's going to take you to make this thing or make the next thing. Is that actually sustainable? Are you going to make the money that you want to make? Or are you just going to burn out and go crazy because you're working 18 hours a day trying to get all this stuff made? Really important you cover that labor time. So to make a profit, though, now profit is the money on top of that that you can use to either reinvest in your business or to save or to buy advertising, you know, all those other costs that aren't part of the base cost price. That's what that profit is for, okay? So the traditional standard is to double the cost price to get your wholesale price. Now, the next step, of course, is retail. So you need to account for your retailers. And traditionally, retailers will mark at least 2 times. So they'll mark up at least twice your wholesale price. Okay. A lot of them will do 2.5. They'll do even more. Okay. So you need to sell, you need to price your retail price at least double your wholesale price in order to be competitive with your retailers, all right, not undercut your retailers if you have retailers. Now, some of you may be saying to me, Jess, I'm not planning on selling wholesale. I'm only planning on selling direct to my customers via shows or online or whatever. I do that too. I don't wholesale. I have over the years, and very occasionally, if a shop approaches me and really, really wants to stock some of my stuff, I might do it. But it's like 5%, 2% of my business really is wholesale. So it's not, I don't do it really, but I still sell my stuff at retail price, okay, because that's the price that it needs to be as far as I'm concerned to get out there into the world. I want to make a good profit from my work so that I can reinvest that in my business and grow it. So that's why I sell at retail price. So let's actually go through this example. Let's say you have a labor cost of $20 per hour. Actually, that's pretty low, but what I want you to do is pick your own number. You know, you have to think about how much you could actually live on if this was your full-time business. So don't go too low with this number. So that's your labor cost, $20 per hour. Your materials cost for an item was $5. Okay, so let's say I'm making a pair of earrings and it cost me half an hour to make those earrings. So here's the calculation. 20 times 0.5, so you're halving it, which is because it was only half an hour, not an hour, which gives us $10 of labor. Then we add the $5 of materials and we get $15. So that's our cost price. Then we double that. 15 times 2 equals 30. That's our wholesale price. That's our profit margin in there, our base profit. Then double again. 30 times 2 equals $60. That's our retail price. Okay, that's the simple calculation to do. So you can see, you know, your materials price, it's not really hugely important when it comes to your end retail price. I mean, you need to cover the cost, obviously, but your retail price should be well in excess of the materials cost, well in excess of the materials cost it cost you to make what you made, okay? That's why, like, you know, diamond rings and so on and so forth from the jewelers are thousands of dollars. The materials are not worth what they sell it to you for. Sure, they're expensive, but they charge a lot more, okay? So here's a second example. We're going to talk wholesale price. We're going to start with wholesale price in this one because it works a little bit differently. So your wholesale price is your cost of materials plus packaging times four. So your cost of materials plus packaging times four. Now the times four in this particular calculation gives you your profit. And then you add your hourly labor rate, and then you add another 10% of the total for overhead costs. Okay, so you can see this one's a little bit more complicated, but it also accounts for a lot more stuff that we didn't actually cover in that first example. Okay, we didn't talk about the cost of packaging. We didn't talk about overheads. So let's talk about that now. All right, the price you sell your goods at, okay, it needs to cover everything. Unless you've got another stream of income in your business, the money you make from selling your work is the only money you're going to make. And with that money, you need to cover all those other costs, okay? You need to cover your packaging costs. Well, hopefully that will be in your shipping, but you know, you can decide which way you want to go with that. Do you want to cover your packaging costs in your shipping, or do you want to cover it in your price of your business? Okay, especially if you're doing free shipping, it needs to be in here, okay? Your hourly labor rate, okay, that's pretty straightforward. You need to be paid for your time. And then overheads. So overheads are really important, okay? So in this example, we're going to use the same numbers from example one. So $5 for our materials plus a dollar, let's say, for packaging that material, that particular item, times it by four, then add 10 because, again, it's half an hour, plus another dollar, and we're going to get $35, okay? So in this case, with my overhead, I added that on top of the labor rate. Okay, you could change that a little bit. You could take 10% of the entire total to get your wholesale price. These numbers are a little bit flexible, okay, but it's what the key is to make sure you're getting all of those base costs in there and sticking to something so that everything's consistent, all right? So in this example, your wholesale price comes out at $35 and your retail price comes out at $70. Okay, so you can see those two examples yielded pretty similar results. The second one was a bit higher, understandably so, because we actually thought about a few extra things that we didn't think about in the first one. So your cost price. You cannot price below this number and cover all your costs, okay? It's just, you just don't ever, ever price below that number, because you're just going to run yourself into the ground, either financially or emotionally and physically, because you'll be overworking yourself, okay, and not paying yourself for your time. You're making time, let alone any other time. Your wholesale price. You cannot price below this number and make a profit. A profit equals a sustainable business. So, you know, you hear on the news, they talk about the financial reports, they're always talking about businesses posting a profit of blah, 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 or a loss of blah, blah, blah. And everybody gets really, really frightened when businesses aren't posting a profit, because that's not sustainable in the long run. They're not growing. Now, you don't have to be growing per se. I don't think growth for growth's sake is necessary, but you do need to be making that extra profit in order to reinvest it in the business and save for the long term. Okay, because all, you know, if you're just working and say, you know, you're spending everything you earn, that's not sustainable for your future. You need to be making enough to be setting aside savings, retirement savings or savings for holidays or whatever else it is that you want to do with your life. Okay, if this is going to be your full-time business, and I know for all of you that's not the case, but for those of you who this is, you know, you need to be covering all these costs. So, as I said, you need to be making a wage and cover all the materials costs in order to build a sustainable business. And you must cover your overheads and your other time working. This is really, really important, guys. It's something that often slips through the cracks when we talk about pricing stuff. You always hear everybody talking about how much the materials cost and how much time it took me to make it. That's just the beginning. That's not everything you need to cover. Your overheads and your time working on other stuff needs to be covered as well. So what do I mean by overheads? Internet costs, your computers and technology costs, your rent, your electricity, you know, your car, your insurance, all that stuff, that's all overheads. And if you're not accounting for that in your pricing, where's that money going to come from? It's got to come from selling your items, okay? Needs to be covered in there. And of course, then you've got your other working time. What about all the work you're doing when you're not actually making? Okay, sure, it takes me half an hour to make that pair of earrings, but it's probably going to take me 3 hours worth of marketing and photographing and blah, blah, blah to actually sell the damn thing. So, you know, How am I getting the money for that? I have to be thinking about that when I come to pricing my staff. So, you know, that other working time, it's kind of that black hole that it's never talked about and it's never really covered when it comes to doing calculations, okay? Even in the calculations I gave you there, we covered overheads, but we didn't really talk about other working time. All right, so that's something that's really nebulous. You know, you can time how long it takes you to make something, but you can't necessarily time how long it takes you to sell something. So that kind of starts getting into the pricing with the heart thing. It starts getting a little bit ambiguous, but you need to be aware of that. And of course, you've got to think about the future. You know, do you plan on expanding at all? Do you plan on bringing other staff on? Do you plan on buying a whole lot of new materials to experiment with new designs? If you don't have profit, that profit margin there, you can't afford to do any of those things because you don't have the money around. So that is why profit is important and why you can't be underselling yourself. So once you've done the maths and you have a number, that is when you can start looking at that number more subjectively, okay? And that's what we're going to be talking about when it comes to pricing with the heart. So we talked about this, what a head versus heart, okay? Head, your pricing formula, heart, emotion, market research, etc. Now, this is a really important point, and it's something that people can miss. There's, you know, a lot of times people have this feeling that I'm only allowed to charge what the numbers tell me I can charge, all right? So that, you know, when I do that calculation and I come up with a figure, that's it. That's what I have to, that's, you know, the maximum I'm allowed to charge. And that is complete rubbish, okay? Pricing is actually completely subjective. Once you get above that cost price, wholesale level, okay, once you've made sure you've actually covered your costs, the rest is just completely subjective, okay? It's a value judgment. It's a decision you make based on emotional and sort of instinctual factors, okay? Let's give you an example. You can buy a handbag from Target for $20, okay? You can also buy a handbag from Gucci for over $7,000, all right? What is the difference here? It's not the materials, it's the brand positioning. Target position themselves as a budget and affordable brand. Gucci position themselves as a luxury designer brand. Sure, that the materials used for the Gucci bag might be slightly nicer. You know, they might use leather as opposed to faux leather. They might use better quality fittings and zippers and stuff like that. But chances are, those two things are being made in the same factory somewhere in Asia. And the actual workmanship is probably not much different. The materials really are not that different. That is not what you're paying for, okay? People who buy Gucci are not paying for the materials cost or the time that goes into making that bag. They're paying for the brand. That's all they're paying for, okay? That's why they're happy to pay thousands of dollars, because of the brand and how that makes them feel. That's all it is, okay? So when it comes to your pricing, you've got to consider your ideal customer, okay? Gucci's ideal customer and Target's ideal customer are not the same person. They're nowhere near being the same person, okay? So you have to decide who your ideal customer is, because that will influence, heavily influence your pricing, and that's based on your brand positioning. So ask these questions about your ideal customer. Who are they? So are they a man? Are they a woman? You know, where do they live? How old are they? Do they have a family? Are they single? Do they live in the city? Do they live in the country? All that sort of stuff. Who are they? What do they value? And this is really important. Somebody who buys a $20 bag from Target doesn't value the brand of Target, really. You know, they're valuing what it stands for. They're valuing the affordability of it, okay? Someone who values, who buys Gucci, values the brand because of the perception that it's luxury designer. You know, they might care more about what other people think about what they wear and, you know, what they carry around with them, or just for themselves, they might think, you know, I deserve this. I'm worth this much, and so therefore I will pay this much. Okay, what do they value? Their values are going to be really important. Why would they buy what you make? Okay, what's their why? What we talked about this in, I think, January's workshop. We talked about what your why is. Think about them. What's their why? Why do they want what you make? What is it about what you make that is important to them? Why do they need it? Why do they want it? Okay, how will you find them? So once you know who they are and what they value, where are they going to be? Where are they going to be hanging out? How are you going to connect with them? How will you find them? The next step's really important. How will you connect with them emotionally? And this comes back to telling your story and your brand story. Okay. Buying and selling is really based on emotion. It's based on how we feel. There's all these other reasons and excuses that we give for why we buy something as opposed to something else, but it really comes back to how we feel about it. So you need to decide how you're going to connect emotionally to your customer. And, you know, what feeling are you evoking in them? What does your product make them feel? What is it meant to make them feel? Okay, you need to be clear on that. What benefit does it have for them? And what are they willing to pay for that feeling? Okay, what's your ideal customer willing to pay for that feeling? Target's ideal customer is willing to pay $20 for the feeling that they got a bargain. Okay, Gucci's ideal customer is willing to pay $7,000 for the feeling that they got an exclusive, that they're special, okay, that they got something that most other people will never have in their life. Okay, so that's what they value. That's the feeling that they're valuing, all right? You need to know what feeling your customers are valuing. Okay, so here's another step to that feeling, pricing with the heart process. Research your niche. Now, I know back at the beginning I talked about ignoring your competitors. Yes, that's true to a certain extent. As a general everyday today rule, don't pay attention to what they're doing. Pay attention to what you're doing. But when you're first pricing stuff, it's good to get a lay of the land. Okay, it's good to research the other people who are doing something similar to you just to get a feel for where they're pricing their stuff. Okay, so particularly those who have a high number of regular sales. Again, a caveat on that. A high number of sales does not equal profitable business. Okay, I wrote a post about this on Create and Thrive a while back. I think it's titled something along the lines of stop focusing on your number of sales and start focusing on what actually matters. All right, and I talk about this exact issue in that. When you go to a shop, you know, Etsy's a good example because they have, you know, the number of sales listed, and you have a look at a shop that sold 3,000 items and another shop that sold 300 items. That doesn't tell you the whole story. Just because this shop sold 3,000 doesn't mean they're actually more successful than the one that sold 300. Why? Because the one that's selling 3,000 items might be selling them for $5, whereas the person selling 300 items might be selling them for a couple of $100 each. Okay? Who's more profitable? I'm going to guess it's probably the person who's only made 300 sales because they've sold a whole lot less, which means less work. Think about it. Every one of those sales, you've got to package it up, you've got to communicate with the customer, you've got to ship it, okay? Sure, the multiple $100 items might take a bit longer to make, but swings and roundabouts, okay? You've got to think about which one is more profitable. So actually sales, if you look at sales numbers, just keep that in mind. Just because they have a high volume of sales doesn't mean they're making a good profit. But so you should be looking for the most profitable businesses, and you can work that out because you can look at what they're charging for their products and how many sales they've made and compare the two things. All right, so you want to be profitable, but you do want to be competitive. Now the key here is being competitive in the right way. So I can just see that the bottom of this is come off the screen. I'll talk to you what it is in a sec. So you want to be competitive to a certain extent. You want to be competitive with the right people, okay? So all this talk about, you know, on Etsy again, resellers, right? People from China or wherever they're from, that's such a horrible stereotype, you know, that are selling stuff for a couple of dollars because they're selling direct from the factory, not to mention the fact that their dollar is worth a lot less than, say, America's dollar. So they, you know, a dollar to someone living in Cambodia, for example, an American dollar is worth so much more than that American dollar to someone living in America. Okay, so they can afford to charge a lower price because their cost of living with that same currency is a lot lower. You don't want to be competitive just on price. Okay, that's just a waste of time because there'll always be people cheaper than you. Always. Lots of them. When, you know, you're not competing, these days, you're competing with everyone in the world who's on the internet, okay? Anyone who's selling on the internet, no matter where they're selling or what venue, you're competing with them, okay? So you can't be competitive just on price. The better way to be competitive is on everything else. So your branding, your photography, your customer service. If you can be better at those things, then you're going to have a more successful business. And the last point here is, you know, having an idea of what other people are charging. If you're charging twice as much as someone else for a seemingly similar item, you want to know why that is and be comfortable with it. Okay? You want to know why that is and you want to be comfortable with it. You want to know why you're charging more. Okay? And not only that, you need to convey the value of your products and brand in your marketing, your photography, and your branding, okay? So if you understand why your stuff is worth more than Joe Blow's, not only do you need to understand why, you need to get across to your customers why. You need to get across to your customers why your stuff is more valuable than that person's stuff. And the only way for you to do that is through your storytelling and your marketing and your branding, okay? Really important, and I think this is the point I've been laboring on through for this entire workshop, don't undersell yourself, okay? So many people undersell themselves, and you know, when you're starting out, it's okay to have prices that are a little lower because you're just beginning, you know, you're starting out, you're not at the same level as someone who's been doing this for 10 years, okay? And that's okay. Just think about apprentices. They get paid a lot less than masterclass people because they're not as skilled and they're not as experienced, and that's how the world works. So, you know, it's okay as long as you're hitting that cost price, remember, and preferably no less than a wholesale price. Honestly, you should never go below that number. You know, you can charge a little less in the beginning just to, you know, get yourself out there and feel a bit more confident about it. But as things go and you become more comfortable and you become more experienced, you need to make sure you're not underselling yourself, okay? So you should be putting your prices up on a regular basis. Probably at least yearly, you should be reviewing your prices in as a whole and probably adding maybe 10% to them, okay? Because your business is growing, you're becoming more recognizable, you're becoming more skilled. So, you know, that's something to consider. If you're trying to make a living out of this, you need to not only be covering costs, you need to be making a profit. I can't stress this enough, the need to be making a profit. And the profit is on top of your personal income. It's not, profit is not your wage. Your wage is not your profit. Your wage is the money you need to live and pay your personal bills, okay? So that is not your profit. Your profit is on top of your wage, okay? Don't make that mistake of conflating those two things. And I think what a lot of this comes down to is the belief that there's something wrong with making money, okay? There is nothing wrong with making a good profit from your work. Yes, you should be making a good wage, you should be covering your costs, but you also need to be making that profit. And there is nothing wrong with that. There's nothing bad about that. There's nothing greedy or selfish about that. You're being a good business person and you're being a smart business person because you realize that this is for the long term, and you realize that for your business to remain sustainable, you need that profit to be able to save and to reinvest, okay? So it's really, really important to kind of examine your own beliefs about money, examine how you feel about selling stuff, and really challenge those thoughts. You know, if any negative thoughts come up, like, oh, I'm being greedy, I'm asking for too much, I'm not worth this, my work's not worth this, you really need to challenge those perceptions and think, hang on a second, is that actually true? Or is that just a story that someone's told me that I've internalized and am believing for no good reason, okay? So, you know, I really want you to be honest with yourself about that and look at that and think, okay, well, no, maybe that's not true. Maybe that's not actually the case. Maybe I'm not being greedy. Maybe I'm just being a smart business person. Maybe I'm just being, you know, I'm just looking towards the future. I'm saying, hey, there's nothing wrong with making a decent living. There's nothing wrong with making a good profit for the future of my life and my family and my business and possibly future employees and all those other things. So don't undersell yourself. Profit is on top of your personal income. Really, really important. Okay. So what that all comes down to is once you've gone through the pricing with the head and you've got a formula and you've got a number, and then you've gone through all those other aspects of pricing with the heart, and you've gone, okay, well, here's the number that the maths gave me. Here's all the other things that can be influencing what I'm actually going to come up with. And those two things will meld together and come up with a price. Nobody can do this for you. You have to do this. You have to decide on that price, and you have to, you know, have the guts to put it out there into the world, because the only way to test if a price is the right price or not is to put it out there and see what happens. Okay. Now, if it's something doesn't sell, that doesn't necessarily mean the price is wrong. Okay. That's usually the first thing, the first assumption people jump to when something isn't selling, is that the price is wrong. It could be so many other things. It could be the photographs are no good. It could be the description doesn't really do the product justice. It could be that you just don't have enough people coming to your shop to actually be making sales. So before you kind of get scared and drop your prices, that shouldn't be the first thing you change. You should be looking at all those other things. Okay, if you've done the hard work on your prices and you're confident that you've got a good price for something, don't artificially drop it. Don't have, you know, random sales because you're scared that you're not making sales. Look at the other elements of your business first and work on those, okay, before you even think about changing your prices. So we've come to the end of our workshop for this month. I really hope you found that helpful. I know there's maybe some things I've brought up in that, some fears or some concerns or some worries or some things that you disagree with me on. And if there are, I'd love to hear what they are if you want to share them with us. So you can pop your questions in the comments below on the workshop page, or you can come over to the Facebook group and write any questions in the circle that you have for me about this workshop. And, you know, I'd love for you to share your pricing strategies with us too. You know, if you actually use this workshop to go back and reprice stuff, tell us about it. Tell us, you know, share with us the formula you're using. Share with us the research you've done with it when it comes to pricing with the heart. Like, talk about what you've done to come up with your price, because we really learn from each other, and it's, you know, it's really hard in a vacuum to work all this out. So by seeing what other people do, it can be extremely helpful to help us come up with our own solutions. So I hope you decide to share that with us all, and I hope you have an awesome month, and I'll see you in the circle, guys. Bye.